Thanks to my boss. Geneva Metzger, North Carolina.
I met with the campus ministers. One of the things that we missed very much was hearing our individual stories. Many of us have come to this point through a lot of pain, and we felt that we needed that support. For us to make anything relevant come of this meeting, we must go back to support systems where we live, either in our cities and or the states in which we are. It is very obvious that changes are going to have to be made in the political system, which includes the hiring practices, which means influencing in some way to have more open-minded majority males and women on boards, in state offices, on the kinds of policymaking areas that could give a sphere of influence so that women can move. One thing we heard very loud and clear is that for a woman to move into almost anything, she has to be very, very qualified. And the pressure of getting a PhD so that you can move into an area of ministry. I'll stop.
Okay, thank you. Number three, Pearl Duvall, Georgia.
I had pastors, chaplains, and church staff. We discussed the responsibility of the church. If we take Bold Mission Thrust seriously, to develop ministry, to send these people out, that there is a mindset that prevents people from hearing where women in ministry are. So it's like we're sabotaging ourselves. We discussed pastors, who shape the local framework, how do we develop a group of pastors who are affirming toward women in ministry. We discussed literature, how to shape the mindsets of children in 3- and 4-year-olds so that they see women in leadership roles. We discussed that ordination can be a detriment. We ask ourselves the question, do we really want the responsibility of being head pastor? Have we looked at that clearly? We got into the problem of how to get through the anger at being rejected and the fact that until we get through the anger, we're not going to ever be accepted. I had one suggestion that we read this. Due to the problems identified by both conferees and persons who designed the questionnaire, I think she's talking about the one at the first session, I suggest that the results of this research not be released until it has been, because it has much potential of being misinterpreted. My rationale for this is that it does not reflect the constituency here or of the Southern Baptist Convention as a whole. It is not a representative overview of women in church-related vocations.
Thank you. The fourth group is Jane Miedema, New York.
Church members who are unemployed by churches or parachurch agencies have three reasons for being here that we agreed upon. We're looking for freedom in Christ as promised in the Good News. We hope this conference would begin to open that up with women's freedom as a component. We were looking for tools of education to use back home, and we wanted to support women who were experiencing the pain of professional relationship to the church. All right, we had the common experience of finding the title Women in Church-Related Vocations too broad and ambiguous. To us, vocation meant calling. Ministry meant service. We watched as these definitions were narrowed with our permission, but nevertheless, it created some ambiguity in terms of what we meant by those titles. The needs beyond this meeting for us, what we most agreed on as important, was theology making beyond the reflections on exegesis, which the Stags did admirably. Three areas we noted particularly. One is the making of theology on the meaning of calling. Secondly, the personhood questions, which still need to be pursued much, much more. What is the nature of woman and her many roles? And thirdly, professional qualification questions as they show the dilemma of the local church to, in the words of Scripture, discern the spirits, to lay on hands, and to reach consensus in affirming calling.
Thank you. Fifth group, Bobby Murphy, Alabama.
All right, this was the local church group also. And I think one of the major things that we decided was that perhaps we are missing practical suggestions to take back and explain to our local churches. And also a concern was, are the persons in authority, that the denominational persons here today, moving beyond grassroots local churches? And also there was a concern of how to change the attitudes of the local churches to accept what was said here today. And another was, in fact, should these attitudes at all be changed? Perhaps we are assuming. Perhaps we dealt with an assumptive world that is not representative of our local church. Also, there was the concern that women's rights as it relates to jobs and women's places in the kingdom are perhaps two separate issues. Of course, there were those of us who violently disagreed with that.
Walter Sheridan, Southern Seminary. Norman James.
The seminary and college administrators and faculty decided that they heard they were not doing a good job of vocational counseling and placement. They heard expressions of young people, especially that someone is resisting change, although it seems seminary faculty are the most open. In fact, one strange thing was that the Baylor Religion Department had a recent opening, advertised nationally. They got not a single application from a woman. It was noticed that their statements came out that there were significant attitudinal changes apparent at Southern. Helen Falls at New Orleans used to get sneers talking about women in the church. She now gets amens and further questions. It's noticed that there are falling numbers of women in music, RE, youth positions in the local churches, questioning why. It's now determined that women see those as put-down positions when they really want to be ministers in theology. Needs, especially curriculum change, incorporating women in history and not having separate women in history courses. It seems that we have taught history, church history, 20 centuries of church history as if women did not exist since the Virgin Mary. The most important thing was that it must be established that is the denominational job-getting process is the protege-mentor relationship. Since the mentors are all men, it must be established that they get proteges who are women if women will ever get into the job market.
Thank you. Group 7, Ann Davis, Southern Seminary.
Combined.
Okay, that's combined.
Did that even get two
minutes? No. A minute saved is a minute earned. Group 8, Raynell Dyer, student at Southern.
Okay, we have heard that we are not alone. Other women in other places have the same needs and expectations that we have. We have heard a realistic statement of job opportunities, and the group appreciated the openness of older male leaders. We wish we'd had a more balanced view of traditional roles and pastoral roles. More time for panels with a smaller group of panelists to allow for more directive questions and the exploration of answers. We would like to see another conference on women in ministry and submit a proposal for the women in seminaries to have a joint meeting.
Thank you. Group 9, Marie Bean, Southeastern student.
We also heard some negative comments regarding the statistical report, but we don't have to elaborate on that. It's been well taken care of. We found the discussion of sexuality to be most relevant. We found the need to relevant to raise the consciousness, to continue to raise the consciousness of women and expectations in ministry. Some issues that we did not feel were adequately addressed. First of all, the issue of power. How is it that women are kept in subordinate places, and how can women learn to use the power that is already in our structures? The whole question of ordination we felt needed to be addressed more directly. The issue of women in the pastoral ministry did not receive adequate presentation. We discerned a great discrepancy of the perception of the problem between leadership and those of us who are experiencing the problem. Who will assume responsibility for literature content? Who will assume responsibility for educating churches regarding the needs of women entering church-related vocations? We needed to hear from pulpit committees, associational missionaries, and others who are in touch with hiring persons for church-related vocations. We would have liked to hear from laypersons regarding their feelings toward women in ministry and specifically toward women in pastoral ministry.
Thank you. Group 10, Laura Fry, Home Mission Board.
We would like to have seen the idea of the woman's call, both by God, by the church, and by the community, developed. We would like to have seen the problems of the wife of a student, and where she is also a student, the problems she faces in getting a degree developed, and seen some solutions for that. A comparison between the current traditional ideas and views as compared toward those of the biblical teachings developed. For awareness, we would like to have seen current opportunities now existing through home and foreign mission boards brought out for women to differentiate between the word ministry and the ministry. What that means for a woman, when we talked about ministry, it had a male connotation, and how we can find another word that would relate for a woman where you say, I'm studying for the ministry or I want to be involved in ministry. This means a lot of negative things to various church members. We would like to see an equal pay for equal work through denominational jobs, and equal opportunity for advancement developed further. And last night we heard a lot about through the politics we can do things. Where do we learn about the politics?
Nancy Curtis, North Carolina WMU. Now, this was the personnel group, right?
Yes. Some of the things we discussed were repetitious, so I will not report on those. We did feel it needed to be known that the Home Mission Board has many more applicants than they can place, that the Foreign Mission Board has many more places open for which there are no volunteers. It was brought out there were 600 openings, which could have been filled by either couples or single women, which went unfilled. It is always a matter with both boards of finances as to numbers of people who can be appointed. We also discussed the lack of understanding at the local church level by the local church members relative to how the Home Mission Board works cooperatively with the state conventions in their appointment practices. It was brought out that we should urge all seminarians to prepare for various professional options, that we can never determine at one stage in our life what will be ahead for the rest of our lives. We need to urge seminarians to prepare for bivocational ministries. Our group also asked that if the survey is included in the findings, that a disclaimer be attached, as the findings are not relevant to this consultation. Also recommended that research is needed in the conventions and on the field.
Thank you. Group 12, Alberta Gilpin, Missouri, WMU.
We heard that the real issue is not self-identity, but place of service, and that we will be the ones who'll have to do the speaking. Nobody else is going to speak for us. The issues that surface that need more attention are opportunities for service. Then the issue of upward mobility, the fact that the tensions that the executives feel when they want to employ women and the grassroots do not agree with that decision. Then the tension also that women feel when they speak out, the tensions that are caused by isolation or labeling or even loss of job. The need to free women to recognize their gifts and abilities. The issues that were not surfaced that we feel need to be dealt with are things like helping us to know how to be that change agent. The issue that the local church, perhaps women experience more discrimination there than they do on the denominational level. We need to help us to recognize how indirect discrimination literature.
Thank you. Jenny Davis, Sunday School Board. This is the last group.
Two comments that we had related to the consultation. We recognize that there are persons, including men, who have helped many of us in our career goals prior to the time when it was popular. Also that it is possible to be a minister without ordination. Some of the issues that we feel need further discussion, hiring practices and especially artificial qualifications for hiring, salary differences, the question of ordination for both men and women, the process for effecting attitude change, the need to understand the Baptist system of Baptist polity and politics, the need to share experiences of women who have attained career goals, and the need for more emphasis on personhood, both men and women.
Thank you. Pretty good. Remarkable. Remarkable. Now, this consultation came into being through an interagency process. I have been on a lot of interagency committees and done a lot of work with peers in other agencies than Women's Missionary Union, and I always enjoy them, and we always do moderately good work. But this time, it has been splendid and different because the men and women who happened to get into this process were deeply committed to it. They didn't get relieved from their other job responsibilities to make time to do this. And they have given a lot of themselves, but their agencies have given a lot also in time and money and additional personnel to help fill the gaps. So at this time, I would like for every person who served on the steering committee for the consultation and all the subcommittees to stand so that you can see. Now, some of them are not here because they are out serving at this moment. And I know you would like to recognize them. Now, thank you. Please stand back up again. Got more to say to you. I want to lay my hands on you. I want you to come up here because I need to talk to you. Now, as you're coming, let me say, just come right over to this circle, friends. As they're coming, let me say that the follow-through process for this consultation is as follows. These same people who participated in the work of the consultation will have your findings, not just what they have heard and felt here, but what is in the official record. And they will report this to the Missions Coordination Subcommittee of the Interagency Council. I am chairman of that, and some of these people are on it. The Missions Coordination Subcommittee will discuss what specific event-type follow-throughs are necessary. I think that we will all agree that the bulk of the follow-through is with you as you go back to your daily lives. There will be some official things that might be done as a result. I cannot say what they might be. The Missions Coordination Subcommittee will report these to our agency executives on the Interagency Council. And perhaps there will be some news story somewhere someday that you know will be a fallout from this conference.